right, for our scripture reading, if you would please stand with me in honor of God's word, we're going to, Abby is going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18.
Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen. Thank you, Abby. May the Lord be blessed by the reading and hearing of his word. Please be seated. Well, due to these extraordinary times, we have kind of looked at a couple different things. Those of you who've been with us for a while know that we just finished the book of Acts. We are planning to start the book of 1 Corinthians soon. But with everything going on, I just have not felt comfortable doing some of the things that I had planned for in between. So we're looking at a couple passages in 2 Corinthians. We looked at one last week. We're looking at another one today. So 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18, our title today is Endurance Requires Focus. Endurance requires focus. And so again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 16, 17, and 18. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you so very much for the praises that we can sing to you. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. You are our Savior. You are our God. You live. You love. There is power in the blood. This is our Father's world. Such great reminders. And we need those reminders, Father, because we are weak, we are needy, and we need you. And I pray, Father, that today with this message, it would not be the eloquence of man. It would not be the product of my intelligence or anything else, little though there be of that. Father, we pray that this would be directed by the Holy Spirit. And to that end, I ask, Lord, that you would set me aside and that you would communicate the truth of your word to your people, that it would be done with clarity and with passion and with boldness. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hey, Doodle, can you go grab me a water from the fridge? Thanks. Well, I had heard all the stories. I knew from the experiences of so many that I shouldn't do this. Everyone knows that it's a foolish thing to do, but there I was running the 200-yard dash, and I looked back. Now, I wasn't winning, so it didn't make me lose the race or anything like that, but it did make me lose focus, and that moment of lost focus made me miss a step. And had I continued to look back, I would have fallen and I would have lost. And this emphasizes for us an important point. To run the race of life well, to endure, we must keep our focus. And in this present time of difficulty, some of us are in this place. We are in danger of losing our focus. Or maybe you've lost your focus. Maybe you've missed that step. Maybe you've tripped and you need to get back in the race. No matter where you are today, this message is for you. This passage reveals the three areas of focus that enable us to endure. Last week, we learned of how we face all kinds of opposition and trials, yet we're never overcome. Through the Holy Spirit and the power of God, we're able to endure. And as we respond correctly to the difficulties of life, Christ is seen in us. Today, we learn how to endure. How to endure. When we endure, we grow. So there's three areas of focus. Area of focus, number one, endurance requires an internal focus. endurance requires an internal focus. So, do I have any fellow readers in the audience today? Now, a reader is someone who gets into a book to the point that they become oblivious to life around them. So if you're a reader, put it in the comments so I know that I'm not alone, right? There's other readers out there. This is the kind of reader that I am. When I get so deep into a book, I lose awareness of what is going on around me. Now, this can be a bad thing, like the time that I stayed up until 3 a.m. reading a book and I had to get up at 5, but I didn't realize what time it was, right? The point is that we can focus on something so completely that everything else fades away. And that is what Paul is calling us to do in this verse. We need to focus on the internal, or we are going to be distracted by the external. This verse gives us three reasons why endurance requires an internal focus. Reason number one, endurance requires an internal focus for encouragement. Endurance requires an internal focus for encouragement. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. First, we're going to deal with that first phrase, therefore, we do not lose heart. Now, this word therefore takes us back to verse 14. Look at verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. So when he says, therefore, he's saying, we don't lose heart. Why don't we lose heart? Because we're going to be raised with Christ. We're going to be resurrected. This world is not our home. The implication here is that if we focus on the external things, we are going to lose heart. Okay? This is a confident statement of assured fact. I love this. Paul doesn't say, well, we shouldn't lose heart. He doesn't say, I hope we don't lose heart. Paul confidently asserts the reality that we don't lose heart. That's what he says. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Because we're going to be raised, be steadfast, right? So why don't we lose heart? Because this world isn't our home. Though death awaits us, we will be raised. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So 1 Corinthians is one book to your left in your Bible, or it's a few scrolls if you're on a device. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58. Paul here addresses this reality that we are going to be raised. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, there's many things that I think all of us love about the Apostle Paul, but this passage gives us one of them. Paul connects our expectation of future glory with a plea for present faithfulness. Let me read that again. Paul connects our expectation of future glory with a plea for present faithfulness. Because we're going to be raised, he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Our labor is not in vain. And because our labor is not in vain, we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart when there are trials. Don't lose heart when there is opposition. Don't lose heart because we are going to be presented faultless before the throne of God. Now remember what we learned last week. Our ability to endure comes from the rock we cling to. We talked about this last week. Christ's strength is what gets us through. And I love what David wrote in Psalm 73, verse 26. He writes this, "My flesh and my heart fail." Anybody else there, right? In the midst of this crisis, in the midst of this time, my flesh and my heart fail. When we lose a job, when we can't go to prom, when we can't do the things that we want to do, when we can't live the way we normally live, my flesh and my heart fail. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I love those words. Over and over in Scripture, we see a picture painted of something horrible, then but God, and then the wonderful, right? My flesh and my heart fail. That's reality. But God is the strength of my heart. He is our portion forever. And so we need strength. We need the ability to endure, and that comes from Christ. When we remember spiritual realities, we do not lose heart. That is an ability that comes from Christ. We are citizens of a different country, Scripture tells us. And so when all these things are going on around us and they're threatening to steal our hope, we remember that one day we're going to stand before the throne of God. This is not the end for us. And so our lesson is, be encouraged because our God wins. Whoops, I went too far. There we go. Be encouraged because our God wins. Would you read that with me, please? Be encouraged because our God wins. Now, I realize that we are not here with each other. And some of you might be thinking, well, I don't know if I really need to read that out loud. Would you just indulge me and do that anyway? It might feel a little bit weird, but what we have learned is that when we speak something, it helps it to stick in our brain because we're engaging more senses. So be encouraged because our God wins. So endurance requires an internal focus for encouragement. Reason number two, endurance requires an internal focus for perspective. Endurance requires an internal focus for perspective. Again, look at verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. An internal focus is demanded. Why? Because our outward man is perishing. This, too, is a statement of fact. It is simple reality. It's not something we like, right? I don't like being reminded that my outward man is perishing. Because here's the truth, right? If we are alive, we're also dying, right? If we're alive, we're also dying. As we age, I'm starting to get a little bit of gray in my beard. And my wife will tell you, I'm excited about that. I'm like, yeah, get that gray beard. But others, you know, the gray hairs get pulled out or things like that. And so there is evidence that we are aging. Our bodies are wearing out. Now, this Greek word perishing is the Greek word diaphathero, and it means destroy or corrupt, to decompose, to undergo the physical process of breaking down and wearing out, whether by becoming older and less healthy or by rotting after death. Does anyone else feel like they're breaking down and wearing out? Right? This is something we all need to bear in mind, not so that we can be depressed, right? Paul's not reminding us of this so that we all go, oh man, I'm getting older, I'm breaking down, I'm wearing out. No, he's reminding us of this so that we redeem the time, right? So that we use our time wisely. We don't know how much time we have. And so this gives us this sense of urgency. But remember the beginning of the verse. We don't lose heart because this life is not the end for us. Don't lose heart when you feel the effects of old age. Don't lose heart when sickness increases. Don't lose heart when the ability to work and move is lost. Don't lose heart because the inward man is renewed daily. That's what we're going to talk about next. But I want to end this point with a thought. If we focus on the slow death of our bodies, we will not be able to endure, right? If we want to endure, if we want to live for Christ, we have to remind ourselves that it's not about the external. It's not about the physical. It is about the spiritual. It's like if you exercise, right? If you're in the middle of a workout and there's going to be some pain, right? There's going to be muscle pain. And if you focus on that pain, you're going to give up. You're going to quit. What you focus on is the goal, right? Why did you start exercising in the first place? You focus on that goal. And focusing on the goal enables us to endure. We don't focus on the physical. We focus on the eternal. And so here's the lesson. Perspective means we look at the goal, not the trial. Read that with me, please. Perspective means we look at the goal, not the trial. The question is, what are we focusing on? Endurance requires an internal focus for encouragement and for perspective. Reason number three, endurance requires an internal focus for strength. Endurance requires an internal focus for strength. Verse 16, once again. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. An internal focus brings strength. This is an incredible promise. The inward man is renewed day by day. The idea is that of being remade, but better every single day. Isn't that incredible? So the outward man is getting worse every single day, right? But the inward man is getting better every single day. This is continual inward renewal. When that is our focus, we find the strength to endure. This begs the question, how is the inward man renewed? Now, there's a lot of places we could go for this. I just want to look at three ways that we are renewed. Number one, God's mercy. We are renewed by God's mercy. How? This is the mercy of the Lord in daily forgoing the full discipline that our sin deserves. All right? And Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 talks about this. Lamentations 3, here's verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Though Christ took all the punishment for sin and the wrath of God on sin, sin still has consequences for the believer. If I were to receive the discipline my sin deserves, I would not be breathing. Okay? Anyone else? Am I alone in this? Yet God's mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is great, Jeremiah says. As God's mercy is new, so I am renewed. I'm renewed because I don't get the wrath that I deserve. Way number two, God's word. So we're renewed by God's mercy. Secondly, God's word. Psalm 119 is an entire psalm about the wonders and the glories of the word of God. And I want to just look at three verses because they talk about how God's word revives us. First, Psalm 119:25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. What's he saying? In difficulty, in trial, the word revives us. 154, plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your word. It is scripture that provides renewal and revival, and therefore it is necessary that we be in the word on a daily basis. So we're renewed by God's mercy, we're renewed by God's word. Thirdly, we are renewed by God's people. Fellowship with the body of Christ renews the inward man. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In this way, we encourage love and good works in one another. Now, this is a verse, honestly, that we are struggling with right now because we're not assembled together. And so some are saying, well, are we breaking this command? And I would say to you, we are still able to assemble with one another through virtual means and things of that nature. We also, this is not going to be a permanent thing. All right, we are looking forward to the time when this is over and we are going to be together again. But at the same time, we can encourage and strengthen one another even while we are apart. And we need to be doing that. Because that enables us to do Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you don't know what the burden is, you cannot help bear it. No matter what might be taking place in our physical bodies, our inward man is renewed day by day. And that is a blessing and a joy. So here's our lesson. Renewal gives us strength and endurance. Would you read that with me, please? Renewal gives us strength and endurance. A classic example of this would be Paul's thorn in the side, right? He had this physical malady, this physical hardship, and yet God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So endurance requires an internal focus for encouragement, perspective, and strength. That's our first area of focus. Area of focus number two. Endurance requires an eternal focus. So it requires an internal focus. Secondly, endurance requires an eternal focus. comparison. This can be healthy or unhealthy depending on the comparison that is made. I'm going to give you two examples of comparisons here. In high school, I was told that I looked like Justin Timberlake because at the time, we had very similar hair. I kind of liked that comparison, I got to be honest with you. But I've also been told that I look like Owen Wilson. That's a comparison that I'm not quite as fond of. There are comparisons that are good and comparisons that are not so good. In this verse, Paul uses a comparison to provide encouragement. And he gives us two reasons why endurance requires an eternal focus. Reason number one, endurance requires an eternal focus because pain is temporary. Endurance requires an eternal focus because pain is temporary. Now we're going to look at verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This description is very vital. Paul is making a comparison here. He's not seeking to minimize the suffering that is endured. He knows personally what suffering is like. What he is doing is emphasizing this point. When eternity is weighed in the balance, our suffering here is light and momentary. When eternity is weighed in the balance, our suffering here is light and momentary. We need to know what he's talking about here. What does he mean when he says affliction? Affliction is the Greek word phlipsis, and it means distress, affliction, an oppressive state of physical, mental, social, or economic adversity. Now, I don't know about you, but physical, mental, social, and economic oppression do not sound insignificant. But that's what the word light means. It means insignificant. Remember, Paul's not saying that our suffering is insignificant because it doesn't matter. He is saying that when compared to eternity, our affliction here is fleeting. This is about comparison. Our affliction is light because it is less than the affliction of Christ. Amen? This is why it's light. Why is Paul saying light momentary affliction? Because what our Lord went through is so much more than what you and I will face in this life. Secondly, our affliction is light because it is temporary. Our affliction is light because it is temporary. Now, some people suffer affliction from the moment of birth all the way until they die. And yet I want to submit to you that that is still temporary affliction. Why? Because compared to eternity, it's just a drop in the bucket. When compared to eternity, our lives on earth are only moments in time. James says, what is life? It is even a vapor, a puff of air. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. Yet these moments have the capacity to bring, Paul says, an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. I want to pause for a second. Because I want us to consider something. Paul calls the things that he endures in this life light, momentary affliction. What is he talking about? Well, let's see. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn a few pages to your right or a few scrolls down to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 28. 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Now, I'm just going to warn you, Paul is bragging because he's in a situation where the Corinthians are listening to people who say they have all these accomplishments. And Paul is showing how accomplishments don't matter. You need to listen to who's being truthful. Verse 23, 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Now what we've got to understand is this list is written before the stoning and beating and imprisonment and shipwreck towards the end of the book of Acts. Paul knows what it's like to suffer, and he still says it is light, momentary affliction. Folks, I haven't even endured a tiny bit of what Paul suffered. But he says it's light, momentary affliction. What does this teach us? Here's the lesson. We can endure because pain is temporary. Would you read that with me, please? We can endure because pain is temporary. This will not last forever. Here we are. We're in the middle of a global pandemic. Our economy is taking a hit. All these things are happening. This will not last forever. How do we know that pain is temporary? Because of the rest of the verse. So reason number one, endurance requires an eternal focus because pain is temporary. Reason number two, endurance requires an eternal focus because growth is eternal. Endurance requires an eternal focus because growth is eternal. Look with me again at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Suffering is to be embraced and even rejoiced in because it means glory in eternity. And so here's the challenge for all of us. If you are afflicted today, that is glory. If you're afflicted today, that is glory. Now, let me be real with you. It's not going to feel like glory. It's still going to feel like affliction. It's still going to feel painful. It's still going to hurt. But if you are afflicted today, the Word of God says that it is glory in eternity. We have to believe what His Word says. And when we believe, change begins to happen. There's a couple really important words here that I want to highlight. And the first is this word working. Working is the Greek word katargezomai. And it means to produce, to do, to bring about, to cultivate, to prepare someone or something for use, especially by working it like soil. So again, the verse is saying this light affliction, it's but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How do you prepare soil for planting? All of my farmers out there, you know very well how you do this. You have to take blades that cut up the soil. You have to turn over the soil. You have to beat up the soil. The trials that we face are the blades cutting up the soil of our lives so that God can plant something useful. I want to read that again because I really want us to get what Paul is saying here. The trials are the blades cutting up the soil of our lives so that God can plant something useful. Affliction is preparing us for use. That's what Paul's saying. It's bringing about and producing the exceeding and eternal glory. God wants to plant something useful in my life, useful in your life. But to do that, He's got to prepare the soil. And that's what trial and affliction does. And this is what James talks about in James chapter 1. Look at verses 2 and 3. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And at this point, most of us go, James, you're crazy. There is no reason to consider trials joy. But verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, produces, right? Like plants that are planted and grow up and produce fruit. The testing of our faith produces, it grows into patience. And then James goes on to describe more. Trials transform us into who God wants us to be. And so here we are. Trials are the tools used by God to shape His children. So, do you want to be a usable vessel for Christ? Most of us would go, yeah, absolutely, I want God to use me. Well, then He's going to use trials to shape you into that usable vessel. And that's when we go, maybe I don't want to be used quite as much as I did a moment ago. We want to be used by God. He's created you to be used, but He has to prepare us for use. The second word I want to highlight is this word exceeding. Exceeding is the Greek word hyperbole. I wonder what English word we get from this. It means extraordinary degree, extraordinary overabundance, the state of having extremely, even superlatively, more than is necessary. Our light momentary affliction accomplishes a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What is Paul saying? He's saying the reward for enduring trials far exceeds the trials themselves. That is what he's saying. In Greek, sometimes when we translate literally from Greek to English, it gets a little odd. And this is one of those times, but I love it. Because here's what Paul's really saying. In Greek, he's saying, affliction works an extraordinary degree of an extraordinary degree of eternal glory. That's what he's saying, because the word is repeated twice, the Greek word. Anything we face in this life will pale in comparison to the glory that is ours in Christ Jesus. When we are with him, we will be blessed beyond measure. Paul makes this really clear. Romans 8:18. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And we go, "Paul, you don't know what I've been going through." He doesn't need to know, because this is what God promises. What we go through now isn't even close to the glory that's coming. Paul's saying the difference is so vast, our trials so small, and our glory so incredible that they can't even really be compared. The knowledge that the temporary suffering of this life brings eternal glory gives us the strength to endure. How do we get through trials? How do we get through difficulties? We remember that this life is temporary, and the difficulties that we face here mean glory in eternity. So here's the lesson. Ready? We can endure because the best is yet to come. Would you read that with me, please? We can endure because the best is yet to come. Do we really believe that? If so, then we need to act like it. We endure because eternity, folks, listen to me. Eternity is going to be awesome. It's going to be so incredible. It's going to be so fantastic that we're not even going to care what we went through in this life. So that's the goal that we focus on. So area number one, endurance requires an internal focus for encouragement, perspective, and strength. Area number two, endurance requires an eternal focus because pain is temporary and growth is eternal. Area number three, endurance requires a restricted focus. Requires a restricted focus. Let me share some quotes with you. Some of these you may be able to finish for me. You ready? Jack of all trades, master of none, right? I have too many irons in the fire. My plate is too full. Here's one from Publius Sicrus. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I might not be. Anyway, here's what he said. To do two things at once is to do neither. And a man named Josh Billings said, be like a postage stamp. Stick to one thing until you get there. The idea is clear. If we want to be effective, we need to restrict our focus. In the final verse we're going to consider this morning, Paul invites us to eliminate certain things from our focus. He calls us to restrict our focus. And so given here are two reasons why endurance requires a restricted focus. Reason number one, endurance requires a restricted focus because some things don't last. Endurance requires a restricted focus because some things don't last. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Some things don't last. Has anyone else noticed that children's toys today don't last like they used to? It used to be that I could buy a toy tractor and expect it to last years. Now, if it lasts out the month, I'm pretty happy. Some things are temporary. To get through the affliction, even though it is light and temporary, we cannot focus on the trial. We do not look at what is temporary and fleeting. That's what Paul says here. This word look is the Greek word skopeo, and it means notice, look out for, to turn one's interest or expectations towards something and respond accordingly. Our interest and expectation is not on the things of this life. It's not on the here and now. It is not on the things that we can touch, taste, and handle. Why not? Well, because if we spend all our energy on the temporary, we will end up with nothing. If we spend all our time and energy on the temporary, we will end up with nothing. There's two passages in Scripture that bear out this point. The first is Matthew 6, where Jesus issues a command. Turn there, Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Right at the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21. Matthew 6, beginning there in verse 19. Again, this is a command. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If everything we do is focused on this life, we end up with nothing. Jesus commands us to store treasure in heaven. We live for the life to come. We live for the life to come. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 15. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 to 15. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." Every day, we are building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. What materials are we building with? This is what Paul is addressing. What materials are you building with? Because wood, hay, and straw, when put to the test of fire, are going to burn up. They're going to be gone. Whereas gold, silver, and precious stones will be purified by the fire. This is a choice. What are we going to focus on? What is going to consume us? We must restrict our focus. We don't look at the things which are seen, because the things that are seen are temporary. They will not last. And so here's the lesson. Focusing on the temporary leaves us eternally bankrupt. Would you read that with me, please? Focusing on the temporary leaves us eternally bankrupt. Don't focus on what you can see. Endurance requires a restricted focus because some things don't last. Reason number two, endurance requires a restricted focus because some things endure. Some things endure. Endurance requires a restricted focus because some things endure. Again, look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." To get through affliction, even though it is light and temporary, we must focus on the glory that is to come. To get through the affliction, even though it is light and temporary, we must focus on the glory that is to come. We are setting our interest and expectation on the things that are eternal. The eternal things cannot be seen. They require faith. 1 Peter 1, 6 to 9 speaks of this. If you would turn there, please. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. A few books to your right, a few scrolls down. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." We cannot see Christ. And yet we cling to him as God, eternal God. Never having seen him, nevertheless, we love him. So some things endure, but the things that endure are the things we cannot see. Hebrews 11:13 mentions this. in the concept of considering those who have gone before us. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Though we cannot see the promises yet, we cling to them. The things that we cannot see, that we accept by faith, those things are eternal. This life and everything in it is temporary. We dare not live for things that will not last. The only way to endure trials and affliction is with our focus fixed on the glory that is to come. And I want to illustrate this. Now, this is an illustration that I first saw Francis Chan do, so I want to give credit where credit is due. All right, so we have a rope here, and on this rope, we have an end, right? This end represents your life here on earth, okay? This represents eternity. All right, most of us live our lives for this. Okay? And we think to ourselves, man, I really want to work and save in this part so that I can enjoy this part back here, right? And we think, oh, this is so important, and we spend all our time and all our energy on this, when this is what matters. It's not what we can see. We have to consider eternity, not just the temporary. Now, the things that we do in this do affect this. Right? What we believe about Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, that affects where we're going to spend this part. And that's why this eternity is so important. So don't live for the here and now. Don't live for what you can see. Live for eternity, because we got a lot more of that than we will ever have of this life. We dare not live for things that will not last. Don't waste our time living for things that won't matter. Here's the lesson. When we restrict our focus to eternal things, we can endure trials. Would you read that with me, please? When we restrict our focus to eternal things, we can endure trials. Right now, there are trials, there are hardships, and there are difficulties. That's true. Now, here's the thing. The coronavirus is just one of them. There were people who were sick long before the coronavirus came. There were people who were experiencing loss of livelihood long before the coronavirus came. Others have the virus. Others have lost jobs. Others have had financial difficulty as a result of this. And we need to put our focus where it belongs. Focus on the inner man. As we are renewed each day, we find the encouragement, the perspective, and the strength to endure. Focus on eternal things. Pain is temporary. Growth is eternal. Use the times of trial and stress to grow in Christ. Focus on what will last. Everything this world has to offer is going to fade. It's going to burn. A man named C.T. Studd wrote these words. He said, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Are we living for what is going to last? Focusing on the right goal, there we go, whoop, goal enables us to endure. Focusing on the right goal enables us to endure. And so may Christ be our focus, and may we grow in him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for these wonderful reminders of where we should put our focus. And we need to focus on the inner man. The outer man is perishing. The inner man is being renewed day by day. We need to focus on eternal things. Our light momentary affliction is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We need to focus on eternity. And we need to focus on what will last. Because the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. Father, may Christ be our focus this week. May we grow in him. And may everything we do, everything we say, and everything we think bring praise and honor and glory to you in your name. We pray, Father, for your safety, comfort, and protection for those who are working on this coronavirus. We pray, Father, for the soon lifting of restrictions so that we can be together again. We pray, Father, most of all, that Christ will be glorified as his church is the hands and feet of Jesus during this time. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.